D&E.
If you went back and watched from season one to now, you'd be hooked big time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like my
How
wife.
How many seasons we got? Four?
There's some dragons. I mean, there's some wizardry. There's some weird stuff going on.
That's a little weird.
But you'd like it. You'd like the Queen of Dragons. And you'd like
her, yes.
You'd like the red dragon, red lady, whatever they call her. You'd love all that. You're a little mysterious like that.
I do like that. I do like when I saw that
mysticism.
Dragon. When she was sitting on top of that dragon, that was hot. That was hot. Yeah. That was kind of hot when she sits on top of the dragon.
My mother. Of children.
Of dragons. That's correct. Thank you, Coach. Not to complain, but it is cold in here again, Buck.
I noticed
looking
that.
Up at our thermometer. We have a air system here in our studio that kind of has a life of its own, mind of its own. 64 degrees right now in the studio.
Yeah, no,
I come in with just sweaters and scarves now.
And if you walk out of our studio, right out the door, it's like, oh, it's like 75. It's like then you walk in here, it's like, oh, meat locker.
Yeah, just call me snowflakes when I leave and you're wearing scarves and sweaters inside. What is this?
Fingers are purple, man. The air just keeps pumping.
And there's a lot of flu out there, too, all over this country. And I'm going to protect the throat.
Gotta protect the throat.
My moneymaker, okay?
Your throat?
That's what she said.
Protect your moneymaker, E. Make sure your throat and everything else because we have to talk. And BK's losing his because he doesn't protect his moneymaker. He doesn't.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I've heard shake your moneymaker.
Yeah, no, but this is, our throats, our voices. We have to be careful of our voices.
Yes, you do. We
and there's
do
a
talk
lot,
for a living.
A lot of people are sick, man.
I know. The flu, it's an epidemic. I don't say that. That's too much hyperbole. It's getting bad, though.
It really is, all over the country.
All over the country, and yeah, it is. Bob Cole. Bob Cole's been down for the count. Our boss, Lise Hudson, she was off for she had it right after Christmas.
No. There's a difference. There's real softness, and there's extreme softness.
Well, I'm not going to blame Lise. If you get the flu like when you're already off, that's terrible. Like you got your off time and then you get the flu, that's terrible. I mean, at least if you get the flu, you get
the holidays.
At least if you have to have the flu, at least you maybe get some time off.
Man.
You know, then use those sick days that you pile up. You don't want to be sick during your off.
Over the weekend, I saw the movie American Made with Tom Cruise. That's a good movie. That's a fun deal to watch. Oh, you got to see that.
American Made?
American Made.
Never heard of it. I've heard of Tom Cruise. I've never heard of that film.
I think it's a movie that I swear maybe for the first time in a movie, I haven't seen Tom Cruise run. You know, he's running in all his movies. Every movie you see, Tom Cruise is taking off running for somebody or chasing somebody. I don't think he runs in this movie. I think he's too old now to run.
You know the reasoning, right? The myth behind why he's running?
Why?
He's running away from the gay thoughts that he has.
Oh, no, he's a Scientologist. Come on, man.
Oh, and heard that before?
No. Let's get to some headlines. Then Todd Callis will join us. He is the TV broadcaster from the Houston Astros. Helped that there was part of that whole World Series run in town for the Astros caravan. He is the son of the Hall of Fame broadcaster, Harry Callis. So we'll ask him a couple Harry Callis stories as well. But we'll talk to Todd coming. Let's get you the headlines. UBO Business Service is bringing you the news, and we will start with college hoops. Big night in the Big 12. Longhorns play tonight, taking on TCU. We'll get to that game in a moment. But big games last night. Norman, Oklahoma, nation's leading scorer, Trey Young. Rough first half, but a great second half as the Sooners beat Texas Tech 75-66. Young, who is the nation's leading scorer, only scored, had 22 of his 27 after the break. Just 1 of 12 in the first half, 6 of 11. In the second, he came alive, and they avenged that loss to second-ranked West Virginia over the weekend. Speaking of the Mountaineers, Bob Huggins and his group now alone at the top of the top 12, the Big 12. They improved to 4-0 in Big 12 play last night. They beat Baylor 57-55 as the senior Javon Carter nailed a tie-breaking three-ball with under a minute to play, and then they held on from there. Also last night, 12th-ranked Kansas held off Iowa State 83-78. They get that victory. So right now you got West Virginia at 4-0. And then Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Kansas all 3-1. Texas Tech will host West Virginia this weekend and a big one out in Lubbock. As we mentioned, tonight, Irwin Center, another big one. World Series trophy will be on hand, according to reports. Texas will face TCU. Jamie Dixon's Horned Frogs won their first 12 games to start the season, but have opened Big 12 play 1-2. 1-point loss to OU, 4-point loss to Kansas. Be a tough matchup for Shaka Smart and his 1-2 Longhorns.
They're older and a year better, a year more experienced. They've added some good pieces, but you know, their core of guys that won that NIT championship is back, and all those guys are a year older and better. So we've spent a lot of time the last couple of days in practice preparing for the different things that they do offensively in their pick and roll game, in addition to some of the stuff that they run for their bigger guys.
Texas will once again go without sophomore guard Andrew Jones tonight. Coach Smart said yesterday there's not much he can say, but and they will continue to honor Jones' right to privacy. Offered no updates on the sophomore guard's health. Announced last week Jones was fatigued for no apparent reason, was undergoing tests to determine the cause. That story continues to be a mystery, but a very scary situation, it seems, with Andrew Jones. Game tips at 8 o'clock tonight, 7:30 on the pregame. You'll hear it right here, of course, on the Horn. Karen Aston, second-ranked Texas women, they're in Fort Worth tonight to face TCU on the road. That game will be over on 105 through the bat, also an 8 o'clock tip. NFL, nearly 16 years after he was traded to Tampa following the crushing loss in the Tuck Rule game in New England, and 6 years after a six-year courtship by Raiders owner Mark Davis, John Gruden officially going back to Oakland, where he started his head coaching career 20 years ago. Gruden introduced yesterday in front of a large crowd that included nearly 50 former Raiders and 9 Pro Football Hall of Famers.
It's about the people for me, and that's a big reason that I'm here today. Obviously, this is very emotional for me. I never wanted to leave the Raiders. I never thought I'd be back, but here I am, and I'm ready to get to work.
Ready to get to work. Of course, 10-year deal, according to reports, $10 million per season. That's the news.
Documation is now UBO Business Services. New name, same great people, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Okay, we got to apologize to the guy in the Blitz. We've been corrected on the text line like 60 times.
Yeah.
So we missed the joke, apparently. The guy was trying to be funny. We thought he maybe was nervous, but he said Kendall Browse didn't know anything. This is Bart Giles. So that's funny. I get it now.
Oh, I didn't miss the joke. I just didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't think it was funny at all.
I thought he was nervous.
Don't ever call here again, because that wasn't funny.
What do you mean? I like Bart Giles.
You know what I mean?
Listen to you over there, tough guy.
Hey, tough guy.
It ain't about you.
Come on, man.
Blitz is about them.
It is about them.
So one chance we get them to talk.
First of all, did I hear that they're doing an afternoon Blitz? They're trying to squeeze in this thing again.
I think it like at the end of the 3 o'clock hour.
Why are they trying to do that to themselves? Something new for 2018?
I guess.
Don't do this to yourselves, boys. Don't do it. Let it just die like that. Right?
I'm trying to keep it alive. Don't plug it in and put it on life support.
It was okay when it was gone with them. They're trying to resuscitate this thing again. Don't.
Kind of like Bart Giles in his football coaching career.
Yeah, Bart Giles.
Just let it go.
Yeah. Leave it alone. Don't do that. Then again, I am so excited that Art Briles didn't get an opportunity to talk to the coaches at the coaches' convention. That was a smart move. And he even up until yesterday, Todd Berry, was talking about the fact that he was really still kind of disappointed in Art didn't get an opportunity.
No, he thought it was going to be a coup for his organization to get to hear from Art Briles and all the things they can learn from him. Hey, here's an idea, Todd Berry, for your coaches. You just give the speech, and if a co-ed or a young lady on your campus alleges she was assaulted and gang-raped by a bunch of football players, do the right thing and do something about it.
It should have been the speech a long time ago.
Is that difficult?
No. He was never going to tell you anything about that. He was never going to say anything about that. He was never going to come clean. It was just going to be an opportunity for him to be in front of people so maybe somebody would say, you know what, maybe he's not a bad guy. Let's give him a gig again.
And let's remember, in many of these civil lawsuits that have been filed in the Dallas Morning News reporting, Art Briles knew about these situations. Art Briles knew. And parents of co-eds and young ladies are trying to get a hold of Art Briles. And expecting help from Art Briles and didn't come. I mean, that's a pretty simple message, right?
By the way, that heat came from other coaches him not speak.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes.
That can't be a bad thing.
Uh-uh. That was from other coaches.
Well, because it's their convention, right? And, that's who comes to that. Do they want to hear from Art Briles? And they just knew what a bad look that looks like. Especially since this guy Todd Berry's got to be voted out because.
Oh, I believe so.
The way he says it, he seems to think that we could have all just, it could have been just us. That's just us coaches just talking. Art could have had a free reign to say what he needed to say and apologize, but act like that's not going to be a big media big
story.
You know
how many media people are going to be there if that were to happen at the National Coaches Convention?
Well, because the media's been trying to get, except for ESPN, who had him on. Get the set and don't ask him anything
right.
Hard questions. But look, that story is. I don't understand what you coached a long time. I mean, the words "do the right thing" come to mind. If there's something, if one of your players may have committed a crime, don't worry about the player. Don't worry. Well, worry about the player, but don't worry about the program. Do the right thing.
This has nothing to do with second chances or let's get something out so other coaches don't make that mistake. No, it's not about coaches making mistakes. Coaches are generally 99.9% of the guys that coach the game of football aren't that sleazy and aren't scumbags like Art Briles. They're just not. You don't need to have a forum to have that to tell you this is what you shouldn't do. We don't need you to tell us that. You're that small percentage. You're that little speck that would do something and have something done like that. I mean, what was going to happen the following year? Were they going to bring Jerry Sandusky out of prison to come and talk to the coaches about here's how you behave around young kids?
Right.
I mean, what was going to be next? The coaches, they couldn't allow that. And other coaches spoke up and said, we can't have this guy speak to our national coaches convention.
Right. Well, look, and if you go back and know the history of how this story broke, as we've always told you, it began with that Texas Monthly story that summer, based around the Sam Mukwachu story, right? And the kid Tevin Elliott had been put in, was on trial for rape, and Sam Mukwachu was the kid that transferred in from Boise State. And Texas Monthly wrote the original story that really blew the lid off of this thing, and it was because who was the former defensive coordinator?
Phil Bennett.
Right, and this is when Mukwachu was ready to stand trial for his rape and was still under had been charged with, and Phil Bennett was at a summer booster club thing and mentioned there that they still expect Sam Mukwachu to be a big part of the defense, right? And that raised what? This guy is under investigation for assaulting and for this assault and you know, because Art Briles was trying to say he's not on a part of the program anymore, he's not with us. And that first story, which I always say, go read, it was really good reporting by the Texas Monthly folks. If you read that story and then all the successive stories, there's nothing I need to hear from Art Briles. There's not one thing I need to hear from him. Certainly not how to do the right thing or how to make better choices and better decisions, but either way.
Yeah.
I'm still in the very vast minority, and I hope I'm wrong with this, but I still think someone's going to give him another opportunity to coach.
Well, I said it when it happened.
I don't think
BK.
It's impossible. Not at the college level. There's too much there.
I think he will get a job somewhere at some time.
Not in college.
Everybody else around him has gotten jobs, and I know obviously he was the head coach and the guy most responsible and most knowledgeable of what was going on. At least we think, but I don't know, man. I think someone's going to give him a crack.
Well, I think the further down it went, the more they knew and the more active they were within the handling of those situations. And, you know, Art Briles, I'm sure, tried to separate himself, but he knew about it. He was aware of what was happening. And that's why I always say it was curious when Art Briles and his attorney filed a lawsuit. Remember this? The civil suit that wanted to force Baylor to release the entirety of the Pepper Hamilton report? Like, the entirety. Like, put it out. Like, Art Briles wanted it. And I was like, amen. We all would love to see it. Because that's where the full investigation, the text messages, the emails, all the communications that went on were. And Art Briles wanted it because he wanted to clear his name. But within a very short time when discovery began, the suit was then dropped. Which, you know, to me says a lot. Why would you, if you want to clear your name, why would you drop it?
And someone says, what are those coaches supposed to do? Just give up and go work somewhere else? I really don't know the answer to that. And I'm not going to pretend I know what they – I just know coaching football. I mean, I'm sure they got degrees and could do other things. But coaching young football players, I just don't think that's the way to go. I don't know what to say about that.
I expect Briles to try to coach again. But, it shouldn't be him not deciding to coach. It should be the university saying, yeah, we're not going to allow this to happen at our university. You got to find something else to do.
Yeah. No, I think that's – what do they do? You know, I'd like to hear some honesty from some of these coaches. You know, hey, this is what went on. This is what, because that's out there. But of course, they're all going to protect Baylor. And again, if this were not a private school, all that information would be available under freedom of information. But because it is a private university and they have that coverage, then they're covered.
And I just think it just gives you a good feeling that, because people are always talking about the good old boy network and coaches and all that stuff. And I just think this gives you an idea that there are some incredible people that do this job of coaching kids that are just saying, no, we're not going to have that. That's not going to happen here.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because I think a high majority of coaches do the right thing, and they do try to do the right thing by not just their own players, but by the student body in general. And the ones that don't shouldn't be coaches. pretty simple.
And you can do something else. Nobody didn't say you could do anything else. You can do something else.
A lot of jobs out there.
That's
a
right.
A lot of jobs out there. All right. So this says, oh, look, B&E, you're talking about Baylor and Art Briles again. Well,
people
we won't
don't
stop.
Like, yeah.
That's not
going to
be a conversation
like
we drop, I promise.
People don't like that when we talk about them. They don't like it.
I think there's a very small minority, but we only talk about it when something comes up, like Art Briles is going to speak at the coaches' convention,
the national
or
coaches'
Kendall
convention.
Kendall Briles hired as the offensive coordinator at Houston.
That's right.
You know, those are new additions to the news.
And
cycle.
As we said, even when the coach was hired here at University of Texas, we talked about it.
Casey Horney, yes.
No,
he's not as a coach, but he works for the football staff, and disagreed with that decision. So that's out there. We've got basketball last night. This Big 12 is very, very interesting. We'll get into that coming up. Trey Young, what a second half he had. West Virginia sitting on top of the Big 12. Can the Longhorns be a part of that? That Andrew Jones story continues to be a mystery, to say the least, and we will try to get the very, very latest on that if we can coming up on it.
And I think, you know what, Brian was right. This would be a great opportunity for folks to get out there and support this basketball team, because it's not just supporting Andrew Jones, it's supporting the team too, because they're going to need – this group is going to need some help as time goes on with this and what is going on with this basketball team. And this coach is going to need your support. You know, you can say that he doesn't know how to coach offense and this and that, but this is a place that supports when things aren't happening the right way. Texas fans are generally very supportive, and this is the time right now because these kids are going
to
need it.
We'll pick up that story and what the Andrew Jones latest is, but let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Excited to have the Astros caravan coming through Austin, Texas today with the World Series trophy. Part of that caravan is the guy you see on Root Sports doing the TV broadcast, longtime TV broadcaster. What a run. Todd Callis is with us. Todd, good morning. Welcome to Austin.
Hey guys, thank you very much. We are shortly heading out your way.
Appreciate it. Have you spent any time in the capital city, or is this one of your first trips?
This will be my second, the first being Caravan 2017. So we caravan through there before, and I'm looking forward to it. We've got about 4 or 5 stops on the docket today.
Pretty excited. Yeah, you guys will be at the Pluckers on South Lamar, the Academy Sports and Outdoors, and then the Caravan Jam at the Long Center, all kinds of places. And it'll be packed because you've seen this, Todd. I know you were a big part of that celebration in downtown Houston with over 1 million fans, and you helped them see that. I mean, what a ride for you as a first year on the role. Unbelievable to be a part of this Astromania that we've seen.
Yeah, it's crazy to be a part of that, my first season with the Astros. And I can look at it one of two ways. Either there's no way I can top it, or it's always going to be a memory that I have from my first year, and there's no way that could be tarnished. I like to look at it the latter way. But you never know. This team's really talented. They could easily win it again next year, or the year after, or the year after that. It's the start of what could be a very exciting run in Houston.
And Ty, what about the city of Houston? Not only about this baseball team itself, but the city and how it came together. You had Harvey. You had all kinds of things going on during the course of the baseball season. But not only did the players support the city, but the city supported the players like crazy.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it was one of those summers that was almost like it was written in a script that it was movie like, because you're right. There were still a lot of people, and still to this day, that are hurting very much from Harvey and have not fully recovered. And we saw a lot of empty seats, even amongst season ticket holders there down the stretch of the season. So for them to have something to kind of galvanize them and to bond them, and for the Astros to make that incredible run, it was fun to see. It was very similar to New York after 9/11. It was similar to Boston after the marathon bombings, where the city really got behind their baseball team, and it was kind of a magical run.
Todd Callis is with us. Astros won the World Series. They're celebrating it still. Let me ask you, when you started, I mean, you've been around baseball a long, long time, obviously. Your late father, Harry Callis, and you have been a broadcaster with several teams that didn't win the World Series. At what point, you know, in this season did you feel like, hey, this can be a really special year? You never know if you can win a World Series. A lot of things have to fall your way, as you mentioned. But at what point did you feel like this was a special group?
I thought it was really a good offensive team, and I wasn't sure if they had enough pitching, to be perfectly honest with you, especially once the injuries happened and Dallas went down and Lance went down and Charlie was hurt, and guys like Brad Peacock and Mike Fiers just carried the torch there in the middle of the season. But then, you know, you're a little bit concerned based on health, whether or not you had enough in terms of arms to go all the way to the finish line. And then, to me, as good as the offense was, and guys were starting to come back healthy with Dallas and Correa coming back in August, but it was certainly the move to get Justin Verlander that I think put this team over the top. They were a very good playoff team before Verlander, And I think with him, they had the necessary push to get to the World Series title.
You know, Todd, your influence of your father, and you, I was born in Philadelphia, and lots of folks back in Bethlehem and Allentown area, and, you know, of course, listening to Harry for so many, many years, and you having a chance to work with your dad, his influence on you and your career.
Yeah, he was amazing. I mean, I spent, you know, all that childhood growing up watching him from afar, and then watching him, you know, in the broadcast booth itself, watching him on the road, and then getting a chance to work up in the broadcast booth a little bit with him. And he, when I was a kid, keeping out of town scoreboards on Sunday afternoons, things like that. But what a treat to be able to go to the ballpark as a kid for every day of the summer, and to be able to sit in the broadcast booth with Dad. And he was never one that really was pushing me in that direction. A lot of people thought I would always end up in the broadcasting game, but it wasn't until I transferred to Syracuse after my freshman year in college that I decided to give it a real shot. And Dad was very helpful along the way in terms of advice whenever I wanted it, but he was never pushing me in that direction. So we were fortunate enough to get to call the 2008 World Series together. He, of course, with the Phillies and the Tampa Bay Rays, were in the American League champion. So it was one of those dream come trues, and it was divine forces working together, because unfortunately we lost Dad the following spring, but at least we had the 2008 World Series and as our final cherished memory together for an extended time.
Wow.
It's awesome. Your middle name is Harry, Todd Harry Callis, obviously. Honorable for sure. Todd, let me ask you about this offseason. I know it's a shorter offseason now, you know that, and all the hype and hysteria. I was talking with Reed Ryan the other day. He's been a good friend. He used to be around these parts, and he was talking about there's guys that are ready to get to spring training. I mean, you would think that might be a surprise, but these guys are getting ready to go focus on baseball again and stop the hype.
Yeah, I've heard guys are already down there at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, which is phenomenal this early in the off season. But it's going to be a quick turnaround. I think you're going to see guys get there a little bit later in terms of when their official report date is, but that doesn't necessarily mean they can't show up already. And guys have already made the trek down there and are already working out. So it's a young group. It's a hungry group. It was sprinkled in with some veterans last year that made the difference with McCann and Beltran and Reddick. But these guys get after it. They're not only young and talented, but they're very hungry. And I don't think it's a group that's going to rest on their laurels. Having said that, it's a much more difficult task these days, it seems, to repeat than it ever was. It hasn't happened since the Yankees did it back in 99 and 2000. And I think part of that reason is there is so much demand on these guys throughout the offseason as World Series champions. So it'll be a challenge. There's no doubt about it. Repeating is not easy. As I mentioned, it hasn't been done in almost 20 years. But this is the kind of group that has the talent, has the drive, that can be able to get something like that done.
Todd, last thing from me. This young core, you talk about it, they have a chance to win multiple because, of Jose Altuve, George Springer, Carlos Correa, and there are other really good young players around them sprinkled in with the veterans and guys like Verlander on the mound. Talk about that core, though, Springer, Correa, and most specifically the MVP, Jose Altuve. What did you learn about those three guys in your first year?
Wow, I had so much fun to watch them when I was with the Tampa Bay Rays for all those years, but now to get to see them on a daily basis, you appreciate them anymore. Just taking them individually, Springer is a phenomenal talent who I think finally figured it out last year. He cut down on a strikeout, still had the home run power, still getting better. I mean, this guy, he's got such an infectious attitude and personality that he kind of feed off that. And even though you don't look at him as a pure leader, but he leads kind of by having fun and playing hard. And that leadoff spot, being able to hit a home run as the first batter of the game, is so valuable to this offense. Correa, to me, is a guy that's going to be one of the best players in the game in the very near future. It could even be this year. I wouldn't be shocked to see him win an MVP following up on Altuve's MVP in 2017. Carlos is phenomenally talented, and before he got injured, I thought he was the MVP of the team last year. And then Altuve is just a freak. I mean, he's unbelievable. The 200-hit season just rolled through four in a row, and no reason to think he's going to stop. Works as hard as anybody to get ready for a game, and I know he's getting ready for the season. But to have Correa and Altuve specifically at shortstop and second base means the Astros are starting at such an advantage over so many different teams with that shortstop and second base production that I think that's why you're going to see this team be very, very competitive, not another World Series champion in the very near future. Yeah.
Todd, it's a pleasure. Hope we can do it more often through the season and maybe see you down at spring training if we can make a trip out there as well. Thanks for the visit this morning and enjoy Austin and the caravan.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Todd Callis. Good conversation. Yeah, Astros has reports out that they're looking at Garrett Cole. They want to add another piece. They're not messing around, and he's right about having, you know, point about having a shortstop like Correa and a second baseman like Altuve. Those are hard positions to get huge production out of. Normally, you're looking for defense out of those spots. Well, if you get high-end defense and then the production that they bring, I mean, it's a huge advantage. I mean, you're getting your run production from your corners and your outfielders. You're getting that from the middle of your infield. And then you add a Bregman and all the pieces, you know, Springer.
Just think about what he said about Correa. I mean, when he got hurt, I mean, he was on his way.
He was carrying the team.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think all three of those guys could win an MVP. And I said that last year before Altuve won one. I felt like all three of those guys are franchise players, which means they can win MVP awards. And you've got three of them. And I think what you saw from Alex Bregman in the postseason last year, that guy's going to be a star too.
Dirtbag.
He is a hard-nosed. He can hit the hands. I mean, everything he does, clutch, defense. I mean, I still think that being at the Game 7 against your Yankees, the play he made at the plate on the bouncer to third to come home with it and get the big out when the Astros were up 1-0 in that game was as big a play as there was in their postseason run. And, boy, it had to be right on. I love the core of that team. And Verlander will get the ball to start. Keuchel, you know, he's got a contract. They're trying to get him worked out. But if they were to add another big-time starter, there's talk of Garrett Cole of the Pittsburgh Pirates. If they were to land that, obviously they'd come back as even more heavy favorites in the American League, along with your Yankees. Don't forget about your Yankees.
I'm not going to forget about them. We got
Giancarlo
a new skipper.
Stanton. They're also in the Garrett Cole conversation.
A new skipper in town. We put the other guy out to pasture finally.
Aaron freaking Boone is in town. But good to hear from Todd Callis. That's good stuff right there. We'll pick it up on the other side and take your thoughts there. Astros caravan in town. We'll also continue the Texas basketball conversation. Big test tonight against TCU and get the very latest that we have on the Andrew Jones situation. Very, very scary. And we'll tell you why coming up. It's Beanie on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, B&E on the Horn, glad you're with us. Thanks to Todd Callis. Remember, afternoon, guys, I don't even think I've informed them of this yet, but Brad Peacock's going to be calling in, I think. One of the guys on the caravan will be calling into their show in the 3 o'clock hour. Hopefully Brad Peacock, who is a big part, you just heard Todd Callis say it, when the Astros had some injuries to their starting rotation, Dallas Keuchel and Lance McCullers and Charlie Morton had a little muscle issue going on in his what do you call that? The abductor. But either way, Brad Peacock was huge for the Astros in the month of July. And then again in the postseason, and he's going to be a big part of what they do coming forward. One of the big surprises for the Astros. All right, Buck. So we talked to Todd Callis. You mentioned you were born in Philadelphia, grew up in Bethlehem. And the name Harry Callis is legendary, to say the least, right? And Todd is his son. And so we wanted to bring some of this. Remember John Facenda was the original voice of NFL films?
Absolutely.
And the voice, right? Everyone knows that. Well, Harry Callis, you grew up listening to him do Phillies games forever and ever. But when John Facenda passed, it was Harry Callis who took over as the voice of the NFL.
Special teams may take a backseat to the offense and defense, but in 1985, kick returner Ron Brown helped put the Rams in the driver's seat in the NFC West. Brown cashed in on his gold medal winning speed by becoming only the third man in NFL history to return two kickoffs for touchdowns in a single game.
Brown up to the 25-30.
Right, there you go. A little Harry Callis.
Brown was indeed a threat, and despite missing three games due to injuries, he averaged a
there you go.
How about that guy? And that's incredible. He get to broadcast for a couple years with his dad and do a world championship game with his father also.
Yeah, the Phillies played the Rays in the World Series, and so he was doing Rays games and his dad was doing Phillies. That was cool. Good to hear from him. Hopefully we can talk with him more. The Astros were looking to replace Bill Brown, who was stepping aside as their TV guy, and they went and got Todd Callis from Tampa, and what a first year for him. World Series win for the Astros. All right, shift some gears. Texas basketball tonight, TCU. Before Todd jumped on, we were mentioning, and you were saying, get out there and support the Longhorns. Longhorns are 1-2. They're 10-5 overall, and one of the big stories, or the big story, is Andrew Jones. I mean, this is bigger than basketball. Andrew Jones, last year he flirted with the NBA, put his name in the hat, and got back the grade, and they told him what he needed to work on as a basketball player. Came back this year, got off to a really good start. He was the Longhorns' leading scorer, and then in December, early December, he fractured his wrist, went down hard, and then he missed four games right after that Michigan game, and was ready to come back. He was supposed to be back for the Kansas game late, and actually got back on the floor against Kansas and then Iowa State. But when he came back, Buck, he was fatigued. He couldn't go up and down the floor three times without, you know, being really out of breath and really tired, which was abnormal for him for sure. Well, so they started testing him, and they still don't know what's going on. He's not going to play tonight, but here was Shaka Smart yesterday opening up his availability, and the folks assembled there, the media, trying to figure out what's going on here with Shaka.
You know, it's a tough situation in that, again, out of respect for the family, I'm not able to provide any information right now other than to say, you know, he won't be playing. And, you know, we're hopeful to be able to communicate more moving forward. But again, out of respect for the family, that's all I can say.
Sorry, I do need to ask this, though. Do you have an athlete in the hospital right now?
Again, out of respect for the family, I can't answer that. Okay.
And again, I may be limited, but do you expect him back at some time this season at this point? Do you have that information?
That's not even what we're focused on right now, Chuck. So, you know, we're focused on the young man.
Yeah, and you could, if you hear it, but you certainly could see it, it's a very emotional conversation. So something serious is happening, and they're trying to get their hands around it and be supportive of the family. And so, you know, we'll all follow it. But as you say, be out. And so this will be whatever the situation is, it does seem pretty serious. And, you know, this is a 19-year-old youngster who, you know, was thinking about the NBA just a few months ago. So, you know, it's going to be – and you kind of – I think you saw it a little bit in Waco, that team just looked a little bit it's hard to – Brian Davis was on with us, who asked that first question about do you have an athlete in the hospital? And, you know, Shaka couldn't answer that, HIPAA laws and just the right
to privacy. Yeah, for the privacy, yeah.
We would all expect that. And so – but Brian – said that even once that happened, and then you're supposed to do a press conference, no one really wanted to talk about basketball. I mean, it's a bigger situation than what's going on with the Longhorn basketball team.
And generally, media people ask questions they already know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's how that works. But you have to get a coach to confirm it or a player to confirm that. So, yeah, I mean, this is something that that's way bigger than basketball. It's not your. It's not like having mono. It's very serious, and you can and in Shaka's voice, in a coach's voice, you know, generally you're talking about your team and how we have to get. This is about a guy's future in a long, long way, and I could tell that it's bothering the coach, which is going to bother the players. But as Brian also said, there's 15 games that have to be played still here, and you have to go on and play these games, and whether you play for your university, you play for the player that was a part of your team, because he's probably not going to be there with the team the rest of the way. So I asked the question of Brian, how do you think they'll – because Brian's around the team a lot more than you and I are.
Oh, he's there every day.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, how do you think this team, and what's their mental state? Can they handle it? Are they too young? But he says they've got players that weren't a part of this team kind of last year. They weren't a part. They're different, and, you know, the Big O is a part of – I mean, he's an older guy. You've got a really dynamic player in the middle. I hope they respond to this and play their asses off for their teammate. I just hope they do.
Yeah. Well,
but I just don't know. You don't know. He knows more about what the inner feelings of this team is.
Brian said he didn't know. I mean, that's the number one thing.
He said that. Yeah.
Well, no one knows how you're going to react when everyone finds out the real news and what's actually going on. There's still going to be 15 games you got to go play.
Right.
And you know, figure some things out without Andrew Jones. And, you know, Matt Coleman has to play more consistently and better. He now doesn't have his running mate in the backcourt. Snoop Roach has to step up. Eric Davis has to step up. Jace Febris, who had 18 points against Baylor. And one of the things Brian said I think is real interesting is that, you know, Mo Bamba knows this is it for him. He's got 15 more games. And
right.
You don't want to – if you're a one-and-done guy, you don't want to not make the tournament. I mean, you want to be a part of, you know, March Madness.
He came here for a reason.
That's right. You know, that is – that's important, and the players know that too. And Mo Bamba has shown flashes of the special player he's going to be. I mean, he's still very, very young. He is extremely athletic. He's got to get more aggressive. It's funny, we talked off the top of the show about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is now, tonight, most likely for the Warriors, he's going to go over 20,000 points, and he'll be the second fastest player to 20,000. Much like when Kevin Durant was here, we covered him, and he could score on anything. I mean, the guy could flat shoot the basketball. He was ridiculous, but he couldn't cover anybody. He couldn't rebound. He got pushed around by people, which is kind of like when you watch Mo Bamba. You know he's going to be a special player, but his game is so raw. He can block shots, right? He can rebound. He's got to get tougher. But that's a special player, and you don't want to have a special player come and go without making the tournament, trying to make a run and see if you can build around him. So everyone has to rally around that. But again, an issue with one of your teammates that's dealing with a health situation, that's scary. That's scary for young people.
Yeah, and meeting Andrew Jones, as I said, he was a cool dude. He's a young guy in college, but you know, when you interview guys like we have to interview, you're thinking sometimes, oh boy, we're going to get a dud here because this guy's he's not very interested in what we have to say, or he's not interested. That guy was listening to every word I said when I talked to him. I was looking at him and listening back, and he came across as a cool young guy.
Jones.
You know, yeah, he came across as a really cool young man and the kind of guy you'd like to sit around and talk about life with. And then something like this goes down, and it's just it's kind of difficult. I can just imagine what it's like for Shaka Smart and the people around this young guy that know what kind of positive stuff he generates when he's around you. You know what I mean? Get that great positive feeling, and you don't know what his battle can be from this point on. And that's the part that's going to really, really suck.
You're right about that. All right, B&E on the horn. We will pick it up on the other side. We'll hit your Reliable Automotive Reliable Pick of the Night, Texas and TCU tonight, 8 o'clock. Plenty of time to get home and get back out for a big crowd tonight to see Texas and TCU. As we mentioned, the World Series trophy and the Astros will make a stop there this evening. But bigger picture is Jamie Dixon and Shaka Smart and these two 1-2 basketball teams. You don't go 1-3 in the Big 12. 2-2, and you're still kind of in the conversation.
Right.
1-3 is going to be an uphill climb, to say the least. So we'll preview that a little bit more coming up. And your Reliable Automotive Reliable Pick coming. It's B&E on the horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, B&E with you. Final segment. We'll hand it off to the midday guys coming up. Trey and BK will take you through 1 o'clock. They'll talk with Sam Tripoli, the comedian, also Justin Wells. We'll be with them, their Longhorn Insider, throughout the course of that program coming up. Rod Babers follows that. Trad and Kevin this afternoon and Longhorn basketball tonight. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip here tonight, Longhorns and TCU. Here's a nice text on the Specs text line. It says, hearing y'all loud and clear on the app all the way in Prague.
Oh, my goodness.
Although it's weird to hear a morning show because it's happening at 4 p.m. Thanks.
You know, appreciate that.
Prague.
That's pretty awesome.
That's phenomenal.
It's kind of a long way from here, huh?
That's what we always tell you. Download that app.
About a hemisphere.
Take it wherever you want. You were in the Marines, Wags. Did you ever visit Prague?
Oh, I wish. That was on the list. I got to see a lot of the sand and a lot of the mountains. A lot of Afghanistan and Iraqi.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's it. I saw the world.
Come on, you didn't see the world?
No, they said, yes, son, you'll see the world. Yeah, I saw the third world. That's about all.
The backside of the world.
You didn't get to make, like... You did get to live in Hawaii for a while.
Yes, I did. Yes, my wife, very sad when we had... At least we came to Austin, though. We came to Austin from Honolulu.
Came from paradise to paradise.
To another paradise, yeah. That's right.
Is your wife from Hawaii?
No, she's not. She's from Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, Prague. So enjoy Prague while you're there. What's the weather like? I did see that the Big Baller brand went international with the Ball Brothers playing in Lithuania last night. That's not far from Prague.
I'll wait till it's on ESPN before I have to watch it.
I will not watch.
No.
Not interested. Not going there.
I was only kidding. I'm not going to watch that. Kidding me?
I don't want to watch a 16-year-old.
Looked like a high school game.
Speaking of high school basketball, we've got our second of our Friday night high school games of the week coming up. You go out and watch 16-year-olds play right here locally. We'll have it for you. It's as we continue to expand and make our high school coverage more robust. BK and Nils, Brad Kellner and Nils and Rick Epstein do such a great job Friday nights. It'll be our game this week, McCallum and Reagan. McCallum and Reagan, Friday night. Always great. Pre-game starts at 7. It tips somewhere just around 7:30. You can hear it right here. Last week they did a really good job on that LBJ game with Austin High. That'll be Friday night with high school football. You see the Georgia fan? There's a guy, I don't know if you watch, you don't watch YouTube, Buck. My kids No. love YouTube. There's a Georgia fan named Uncle Lou. Uncle Lou. And he's got a YouTube channel called LouTube, and he's a Georgia freak. And he on his YouTube channel, he made a bet that if Georgia loses to Alabama, he would drink a Coke that he's had for 38 years. A Coke that's been sitting for 38 years.
Now, I've seen what a Coca-Cola can do to like a car battery when I poured it over the top one time.
Yeah.
A 38-year-old Coke, huh? Yeah. I don't know about that.
I don't either. But he had to drink it. I guess 38 years ago, last time they won a national championship.
He doesn't look good if that's him after he drank it right there.
I don't. What would that do? Can anybody, any experts out there know what would happen if you drank a 38-year-old Coke? Now, it hadn't been opened. It was still there. Of course.
I know Cokes aren't great for you because, as I said, if that does that to a battery, what does it do when you drink it down your inside? But when it sits around for 38 years, is it less potent or is the stuff build up? I'm surprised when he opened up the cap, that thing didn't shoot off and blow up in his face.
Coca-Cola, of course, bottled in Atlanta.
Yes.
And that's
big brewery there. That's the headquarters.
Sure. But I don't know. What would you, 38-year-old Coke? I don't know. Don't think I'd do that.
I wouldn't do that, man.
There can't be much carbonation left in it after 38 years.
It's watching just a video of sugar, right?
Yeah, watching a video of this guy pop it off, and he goes, of course this thing is welded on. It's been that long.
But it's got to be just like drinking just a bottle of sugar, right?
I don't know what it would be. I really don't. What would it be 38 years later?
I don't know. What is wine like 38 years later?
You imagine it's flat or something? I mean, it keeps the carbonation, flat. You'd think, right?
No, it's sugary. It's like wine, probably.
Like a syrup?
You got drunk off not that stuff.
Not a fine wine.
No, not a fine wine. No, it's too
long.
You're
saying it like could ferment?
I would think so. With all that sugar, right? Wouldn't that end up being something just
call
nasty?
My sister-in-law. She's the chemist in the family.
There we go.
Tried to make a batch of hooch when I was in Iraq once.
How did that go?
Didn't that work?
Blew up in the back of a vehicle.
Ooh. Oh, you did it in the inside of a vehicle?
Yeah, man.
My God.
This guy says 26 plus years in the Air Force. Spent 22 of them straight in Europe. Prague is fantastic.
If you did that.
Of course, the Air Force gets to see Prague.
Of course.
Yeah, you join the Marines.
Of course. I knew what I was getting into.
Yep, absolutely.
Semper Fi, my friend. Hey, we need a reliable automotive, reliable pick of the night, Buck. I don't know if how you're feeling. I gave you the Baylor Bears last night, plus 11. Got that done. That was nice. They only lost by two, so we win that
one. I gave you A&M.
Ooh.
No, and I gave you Kentucky, but they didn't cover the
eight. Kentucky did not cover. They won the game, though. Beat the Aggies by a nose.
So I'll take the win, but not the cover.
No, that's all that matters. Your cousin doesn't care about the win.
He doesn't care about the win. They don't, do they? I said, hey, I won. He goes, well, not really. You're a loser. That's exactly what he said.
Do you ever have this? Like, we had a gathering on Saturday night for a birthday, and like it was amazing. It was four couples, and I'm trying to explain to the people in the group that don't understand spreads.
Oh, I know that. That is like talking to first graders.
I'm like, isn't how it? Do you not understand this?
Well, we don't get it.
Okay, if you're just picking winner, I mean, it was like talking to a kindergarten group.
And they asked you the same question.
And these
over
are really
and
smart
over.
People.
Yes, that's what I mean.
These are really smart people. I'm like, how are you not understanding this? How else? This doesn't compute. What do you mean?
You know why? Because I was a first grader when I had to learn about the baseball spreads and how that worked.
Well, that's a little different. That's a little more complicated.
Okay, thank you. At least I can go to fifth grade on that.
That's got to bet so much. I mean, you got to have odds on games or else you're picking winners. You're picking secretaries could win.
Yeah, but
Vegas
right.
would get crushed.
There would be no big buildings in Vegas if you could go by just straight up.
But I understand people don't want to, for entertainment purposes only, if they have no interest in it, that's fine. But to not understand the concept is really weird to me.
I know.
I try to explain it to someone who doesn't get it.
I try to sit there, and it's the same like when you go to track. If you go,
I've gone to the track with you, and I don't understand your numbers game.
Yes, there's a numbers game that I play. I bet I don't do jockeys.
You
and
Brent Musburger.
I do numbers. I do certain numbers come in, and they follow each other a lot.
It's my understanding that there would be no math.
That's right.
It says, I have a six-pack of 2005 Texas National Championship Cokes. I'd never drink those things.
That's right. You didn't put that stuff down your gullet.
It says they were made with real cocaine back then.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Don't really? Throw me with a good time.
What? It had some of the coca leaf in there. Nice.
Is that true?
I think that's absolutely true. Yes. Coca leaf.
I don't know if that would be 1980.
No, I think it was before 80, though. I think we're going to talk about in the 70s when everything was good. I'm going to take the Texas Longhorns tonight over TCU.
Really?
I think this group is going to come out ready to play and play hard for their teammate. I think the last week was a surprise
Waco
on them.
Waco was a weird one.
Yeah, they were just, they were just finding out some different things about their teammate. But I think tonight they understand they got to go play. They got 15 games to play. And he's probably not going to be with them. And I think they're going to settle this thing in and play like hell tonight. Just go crazy. And I think they'll beat TCU. So I'm taking the Horns tonight.
Okay.
My reliable pick.
Now, I gave you the underdog last night. I like to find underdogs for you. But I'm going to take the Golden State Warriors tonight. They're 16-point favorites over the L.A. Clippers. But tonight's the night that Kevin Durant goes over 20,000 points. He'll be the second youngest player past 20,000.
You think he'll have 50 of those tonight?
I think he's going to have some fun tonight. I think Steph, Durant, remember Durant just came through and didn't play in Houston, but gave $3 million to the Texas Athletic Department. That was nice of him to
do. You think that the Warriors are going to set him up for success tonight, the rest of them?
I think this is a blowout of big proportions.
Yeah,
the Warriors do well at acquiescing to other players on the court. I mean, giving them their nights,
you're
whatever,
right.
they're full of stars.
They always beat the hell out of the Clippers, right?
the Clippers
can't beat the Warriors, so I think this is a matchup I like. I hate 16 points, but this is 25 easy.
Yeah, this is a big blowout,
tonight.
I believe. You're right.
All right. We will grade ourselves tomorrow in the back end of the program. Appreciate Todd Callis today, Astros TV man, here for the caravan. Get out there at the Academy and Pluckers and wherever they're going to be. All those details are up. Also, thank you to Brian Davis, Austin American Statesman, for jumping in. Thanks to BK. He's back and he'll be part of the Midday Show. Thanks to Wags. And the Buck that says Coke stopped putting cocaine in bottles in the 70s.
Yeah, that was late in the 70s. I had some of that good stuff.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Good times. Good times, brother.
The 70s!
Have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll do it again on a Buck Off Thursday. Every hour of this show podcast at hornfm.com.